Joshua chapter 23. We'll be in chapter 23 and chapter 24. Do pray for Brother Don. I haven't talked to him, but God willing, I will. Brother Jim, where are you at? He must be locking doors and checking the property. But I need Brother Jim or Brother Steve, send me a text this week and remind me, okay? I do want to check on Brother Don. He is a precious brother. And I don't just say that. I cherish his friendship. I cherish his prayers. And he has said so many encouraging words to me in these years that we've known each other. They've just been a blessing. Just been a blessing. Okay. Let's look at verse 13 of chapter 23. I'll read a couple of verses and give you the thought that's on my heart tonight. The Bible said in verse 13, "Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you." If you read it in its context, what Joshua is doing is warning them. He's saying, if you go back to them old gods and you get away from God, he's saying God will use these heathen people to chastise you. And I'll tell you tonight, that's something that we should keep in the back of our mind. But look at verse 14. Here's where the message comes from tonight. The Bible said, "And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth." Before I was ever saved, I've heard what I call old-timers, old-time Christians, use that statement, "going the way of all the earth," and I really didn't know what they were talking about. But Joshua said, "I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things that the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." What I want to look at tonight is this phrase, "I'm going the way of all the earth." Joshua is fixing to leave the scene, so to speak. Joshua's had a good ministry. He's had a good life leading the people of God. It reminds me of a statement that I heard years ago, and I would give them credit if I could remember exactly who said it, but I heard the statement. It said, "If you think you're leading and you look behind you and no one's following," said, "you're not leading, you're just going for a walk." Joshua was a man that wasn't just going for a walk in life. He had a family that was following him. He had a nation that was following him. And I tell you, it's a blessing to be a leader. Everybody's not a leader. God didn't cut everybody out to be a leader. But you can't have leaders without followers. And beloved, I believe the best leaders in the home, in the church, in the nation, anywhere you go, in the school, at the job, I believe the best leaders are those that were first the best followers. They knew how to follow. I'm reminded, and I don't want anybody to tell Bob anything I say positive about Bob. I don't want it to get back to him. But when Bob went to Walmart, he is managing a Walmart now in Mocksville, North Carolina. But when he went to Walmart, he told them, he said, "I want to start at the very bottom." He said, "I want to do every job in this store." And honestly, Brother Steve knows probably as well or better than I do how that God has used him. And he seems to be the guy they turn to now when a store is in trouble and it's upside down and it's trashed. And when he went to the store where he is now, he sent me pictures. The stock room was stacked all the way up to the ceiling and the shelves were bare. Well, anybody with any sense at all knows if you're going to sell it, you got to get it on the shelf. Amen. And it took him a little while, but he got that turned around. And all I'm saying is that he didn't want to just be the leader to start with. And I can remember a time in my life, and I don't say it boastfully, I say it humbly, when I went in my pastor's office and told him I didn't come in there to tell him what I would do or not do. I just come in there to tell him whatever he needed me to do, I'd do it. If he needed me to drive a van, I'd drive it. Mow the grass, I'd mow it. If he needed something painted, I'd paint it. And the truth of the matter is, I may not have mentioned this in that statement, but if all he needed me to do was clean the toilet, I'd have cleaned it and been glad to do it for Jesus, because he changed my life. He made that desire in me to serve him. I'll give you three things tonight in the message and just share them with you. But I don't know, you know, a lot of people, even in this congregation, would say, well, Pastor, you're just 61 years old. I want to tell you this. I believe that no one knows our body better than us. And no one knows when we're going, but we do know we're going the way of all the earth. And my desire would be to go on the big load. Amen. And my desire would be just to hear Jesus say, come up hither, and just go out on the big load. But we don't all get to go the way that we desire to go, but we know we're going. I want you to just see tonight that when you think about the way of all the earth, it is a place that we all must go. All of us are going that way. The songwriter said years ago, I'm going that way, I'm on my way, I'm going that way. With Jesus, my Savior. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Listen, I wasn't always going that way. Beware of the person that tells you they've always been saved. Because the Word of God, listen to me carefully. The Word of God teaches, beloved, listen, that he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, you might got saved at a very young age, and that's all right, amen. But none of us have always been saved. And so, Joshua, there was a time in his life, and by the way, to back up what I just said, I believe when Moses was the leader in Israel, I believe Joshua was a great helper, a great follower, a great man that come alongside Moses and helped him. But it's a place that we all must go. When Brother Jack went over to Cedar View that morning, I'll guarantee you he had no idea that would be the last message that he would be preaching. I want to stop and say this tonight. That man of God is to be commended for going over there, for taking the time out of his schedule to go over there and preach to the kids. I don't know how many were there that day, but I know this, Brother John, they heard the truth. Whatever Brother Jack told them was the truth from the Word of God. Amen. And I tell you, it's the truth that's still changing lives. He didn't know that day, beloved, that he was preaching his last message, but he was. That's a place we're all going to come to one day after a while. And so I want you to just think about that. You say, Pastor, that's kind of morbid to think about that. No, no, it's motivating to think about that. Amen. Lord willing, I'll start revival on Tuesday night in Illinois. And I'll be honest with you. I ask the pastor. We generally start on Monday night. And I asked him, Brother Steve, on the phone a month ago. I said, can I have Monday night off? I mean, I knew we were going to the couples retreat. I knew I was be here on Sunday. I knew I'd be headed right into Cedar View and then trying to get out there. It's a seven-hour journey in a car. It's about a seven-and-a-half, eight-hour journey pulling a camper because you can't go as fast as you do in a car, not safely anyway. But I just thought it would be good just tomorrow night to go and start all over again. Amen. But I'll tell you this, Brother Jim, where's he at? Does he go to church here anymore? Somebody wake him up. I bet he went out there while he's down on the cot. Amen. But Brother Jim goes with me, and he'll tell you there's 30, 35, 40, sometimes 45 people. But I'll tell you this, Brother Steve, God knows my heart. I want to give him my best this week. If I preach my last message Tuesday night, I want to know I give it my best. If I preach my last message Wednesday night, if I make it through the week and make it back here 2 weeks or from today. Yeah, 2 weeks from today. I'm just saying, beloved, it's healthy, I think. Listen to me. It's healthy to understand and realize that what the Bible said was, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You know, we know not what another day brings forth. Amen. We don't know about tomorrow, but we know it's a place that we must go, going the way of all the earth. The second thing I see in Joshua's life, late in his life, he knew it was a place that he had to go. He must go. But he saw a people that must know. There was something that Joshua wanted to leave with the people of God and leave with his family. I'll give you a couple statements right here. If you look in verse number 2 of chapter 23, the Bible said Joshua called for all Israel. Let me just give you a thought tonight. What would it be like, Brother Gary, to come down to the end of the way and call for your family and your family wouldn't come? That'd be sad, wouldn't it? What would it be like to get down to the end of the way and call for your church and your church wouldn't come? Or call for Israel like Joshua did, and Israel said, no, I'm going to tell you why they came. They respected him. They honored him. And the reason they honored him is because he honored God. Amen. Now watch this. Joshua called for all Israel and their elders and their heads and their judges and for their officers. And he said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. I just want you to know tonight, beloved, listen. Joshua understands he's getting ready to go, but there's something he wanted the people to know. He said, ye have seen, in verse 3, all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Isn't that good? The Bible said in verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fighteth for you. Joshua wanted them to know something. He calls them together, and he wants them to know. Not only did Joshua call them in verse number 2, but look in verse number 1 of chapter 24. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. See, Joshua started with the elders, and he started with the judges, and he started with the leaders. He called them together, and now he's calling all the tribes. He's gathering them together. He's getting ready to leave the scene. He's got some important things to say to them, and he wants to gather them together that they might hear. And then in verse number 2, the word of God said, Joshua said. So you have Joshua calling the people, Joshua gathering the people, and that Joshua speaking to the people. I'll tell you something right now, beloved. Listen to me. You remember when Lot tried to speak to the people? Oh, dear God, deliver us from that. You remember when Lot, the word of God said, he spake to his sons-in-laws, and he seemed as one that mocked. Wouldn't that be sad, Brother Larry, to get down and our life be a mockery, to where our words carry no weight, nobody's listening, nobody's concerned? That would be sad. That would be sad. But Joshua's not that way. Joshua served the Lord, and Joshua wants the people to know. Let me give you three things real quickly that he wants them to know. Number one, he wants them to know the faithfulness of the Savior. Joshua don't want them to forget, God's been good to you. I said it in the message this morning. It came out of me that, listen, I've not always been faithful, but I can stand here tonight and tell you God has always been faithful. He has never failed. And the word of God said, you know, look in verse 14, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your soul. Joshua was saying, listen, you know what I'm telling you is the truth, that not one thing has failed of all the good things that the Lord has spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. I want you to know tonight, listen, sometimes we're like John the Baptist. Sometimes we begin to get a little season of doubt going on in our heart. But we need to get it confirmed that what God has promised in this book, not one thing's going to fail. Amen. Some of it's already been fulfilled, and we're on the brink of seeing the rest of it fulfilled. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, if the devil can get us to doubt, that's what he would want us to do, to doubt God's word. But Joshua said, I want you to know the faithfulness of the Savior. God has been good. We ought to just cleave unto him, like verse 8 says, the one that's done all of these wonderful things. Now, Joshua did not just want them to know the faithfulness of the Savior. That's a wonderful thing in itself. But Joshua's leaving, and he wants to paint them a picture of the folly of sin. He's wanting to leave this mark in their heart and in their mind that it would be foolish to go back. Amen. It would be foolish to turn away from God. It would be foolish to serve the gods, beloved, that we served on the other side of Jordan. Amen. Look at some of the scripture. He said in verse number 11, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Look in verse number 12. The word of God said, else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you. I'm going to tell you what, Joshua loves his people. Joshua don't want to see his people snared and trapped, amen. And listen, the devil sets those traps, and he wants to bring God's people down. He wants us to be a mockery in the eyes of the world. I used an illustration years ago with teenagers. I think I've used it twice that I can remember. And when my daughters were in high school, I set out not mouse traps, but rat traps. And I set them out on the carpet, and they were literally cocked. I mean, if you stepped in it, it might break a toe, but it's definitely going to hurt. I promise you that. And I set out the traps just in a maze. And then I blindfolded my daughter. I wouldn't trust just anybody to do this. There's a liability issue. Amen. And so I blindfolded my daughter. You say, well, Pastor, why did you blindfold your daughter? Because the devil don't play fair. He don't set the traps out there on the carpet where you can see them. Amen. He camouflages them. He does, Brother Ralph, like he did in Vietnam. They bury that stuff down in the leaves, and it's too late when you stepped in that snare. You can actually lose your life when you step in that snare. And so the illustration was that she standing over there would come over to here where I am if she would follow my instructions. And it was very, very, and I had to pay attention. You don't want to say right when you mean left, and you don't want to say left when you mean right, and you don't want to say forward when you mean backward, or backward when you mean forward. You want to say what you mean and mean what you say. Aren't you glad we serve a God that says what he means and means what he says? And so there's all those kids watching that. And I watch my daughter go to the right, honey, just about a half a step, come forward about two steps, go to the left. In other words, listen, if she'll just listen to my voice, I can walk her through that mess that's in front of her. I want you to know this tonight, church. Listen, I love you. Joshua loved his people. He's saying the snares are there. Old Slewfoot's going to set them. Amen. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy our life. But hallelujah. Aren't you glad Jesus said, they know the voice of the shepherd, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we can make it. I said we can make it if we'll just hear the voice of the shepherd. Amen. He'll show us where the snares are. And Joshua's telling them in the end about the folly of sin. Look at chapter 24, verse 19. Joshua said unto the people, he's being a little bit, he's really laying a challenge. He said, you cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Now, if you just read that on its own, it doesn't look like it makes any sense. But Joshua's warning of the folly of sin. Look at verse number 20. Here's what he said. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses yourselves against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the God of Israel. I'll tell you something. Joshua knew there was some things going on that didn't need to be going on. Ain't that right? Joshua's going the way of all the earth. And Joshua wants them to know some things. He wants them to know the faithfulness of the Savior. But he also wants them to know the folly of sin. And the next thing that I'll give you is that he wants them to know the future of God's servant. Look at chapter 24. And verse number 29 with me. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. I want you to see this. And all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. Isn't that good? You talk about leaving a mark on a group of people. But Joshua left a mark on the children of Israel, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the Lord, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried there in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eliezer, the son of Aaron, died. And they buried him in a hill that pertaineth to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. I believe that when we think about the future of God's people, you say, Pastor, why would you talk about them burying? Let me just tell you this. All they buried was his body. When you serve God the way that Joshua served God, the only thing they buried was the carcass. I get tickled. I heard about this, and it had to be funny. Preachers sometimes, they think they're going to get a point across, and they make a fool of themselves trying to do it. But he said there was a body laying down in front of him, and he was preaching the man's funeral. He said, folks, he said, this is just the body. He said, this is just the shell. He said, the nut went to heaven. And Brother John, if you preach my funeral, you tell them that the nut went to heaven, will you? That inside part, amen, is going to heaven. And Joshua knew that he had a bright future to be absent from this old body. Now listen, there was a place called paradise for those Old Testament saints, and we know that it changed after the resurrection of Christ, that now we're ushered right into the presence of God, amen, when we leave this world. But I tell you, it's a blessing. He said, Joshua was saying, there's a place, and I must go to that place, the way of all the earth. There's a people that must know. I want them to know the faithfulness of the Savior, the folly of sin. I want them to know the future of his servant. Let me ask you a question I didn't know till last night. It dawned on me as I was thinking about Joshua and reading about him. Does anybody know, is Joshua mentioned in Hebrews 11? If I asked you that question, would you know right quick? I didn't know last night. I went looking. Does anybody know, was Joshua mentioned in Hebrews 11? Brother Steve's going to go and look. That's the best thing to do, ain't it, Brother Steve? That's what I did. Amen. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Let me show you something tonight. Joshua is not mentioned, so to speak, directly, but he is mentioned indirectly. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at verse 30. By faith, The walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Joshua's name's not mentioned, but who's the leader? Who's the one marching them around? Who's the one that gave them the instruction? Ain't that good? Say amen. I'm telling you, God has helped them to do the will of God. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. That blesses me, amen, to know, beloved, that we, as God's people, have a wonderful future ahead of us. There's a place I must go. There's a people that must know. But I want to give you this in closing tonight. There's a purpose. As I near the end of my journey, as Joshua neared the end of his journey, as you and I both near the end of our journey, there's a purpose that we must show. Let me give it to you tonight. Look with me, if you will, over in verse number 13 of chapter 24. You say, Pastor, what is our purpose? What should we leave with the folk? The Word of God said in verse 13, "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor." I tell you what, God give us something better than a land. We do have a land in heaven that's fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. But God has given us eternal salvation for which we did not labor. Jesus went to the cross, and Jesus gave his life. Cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. The vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now I want you to see this. There's two things I want you to see. Now therefore fear the Lord. What was the purpose that Joshua wanted to leave with him and show in his life? And that was the fear of the Lord. The fear of the God of heaven. I got saved because that night, the fear of the Lord. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Beloved, people got all kinds of bumper stickers and signs, no fear. I'm going to tell you something. There's coming a day when God said they'll run to the rocks and the mountains. They'll cry, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne." There's a fear coming, beloved. For those that don't fear today, God said in Proverbs 1, "I will mock when their fear cometh. I will laugh at their calamity." And so the fear of the Lord, that ought to be a purpose for us. And the Bible said, "Fear him, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Amen. So the purpose in Joshua's life, as he's getting ready to leave out, he wanted to show the fear of the Lord. And then there was not only the fear of the Lord of heaven, but there was a family that the Lord had given. That was Joshua's purpose. Look in verse number 15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," he said, "choose you this day whom you will serve." This is a very common verse, but I tell you, we need to let it sink in. "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." But Joshua said, "I want to leave you with something. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." I'm going to tell you something right now. When you get to where you're in a bad place, so to speak, or maybe a place like Joshua getting ready to go the way of all the earth, your family will mean the world to you. Amen. Matter of fact, I'd rather have my family in the valley than I would all this world has to offer. Now, when I say my family, it's twofold. Number one, my immediate family. I have one of the most precious wives in this whole wide world. God has given me precious children and precious grandchildren. Brother John, I wouldn't take everything this world's got for seeing my granddaughter's hand go in the air and seeing her and hearing what she said to me over there as she thanked God. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, If some of us don't get a hold of this, we're going the way of all the earth. But we better get interested in what we're going to leave to those that are coming behind us. Amen. And then the Bible said here, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not only the family, beloved, that my Lord has given me as far as my wife and my children and my grandchildren, but I thank my God for the family of God. I'm telling you, beloved, there are some in my immediate family I don't believe I'll ever be as close to as I am to some of God's people. And I don't apologize for that. God's people are precious to me. I don't know what I would do without them. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And when I say God's family, I am speaking of Bible Way, but it goes well beyond. You all understand that, don't you? One day, before I go the way of all the earth, I'd like to go back to Pennsylvania. I'd like to stand where I stood for 10 years one more time in front of those prisoners. And some of them will die in prison. But I tell you what, the razor wire won't be able to hold them if Jesus comes. There's some saved men in the prison. There's some people in prison that are putting on a facade just like they are in Kingsport. Help me. But there's some people in prison that are real just like they are in Kingsport. And I tell you, I think about what Brother Don Babayan's doing over in the Philippines. You say, Pastor, you got some lofty things you want to do. I just want to do all that he wants me to do before I leave this world. Don't you? Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. Let's serve the Lord, and let's not just serve him. Let's serve him with gladness. Let's realize, beloved, listen, our day's coming. We're going to go just like Joshua, the way of all the earth. And you know, you could preach a message like this, Brother Michael, and somebody could say, yeah, there's a lot of old senior saints in here. Brother Michael, you may go before us. You know that, brother. You're wise enough to know that. A lot of young people are not. Amen. How old are you, Brother Michael? 41. I can remember when I didn't call 41-year-olds young people. Brother Steve is in agreement with me. Amen. The difference 20 years can make. Amen. Amen. Joshua's left us a good example, ain't he? Amen. And I appreciate him. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for coming.